The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome you back. There's so much to talk about with Pat Forty today from Sports Illustrated. Just a few minutes ago, we're reporting about the NCAA perhaps gearing up for more investigations. I'll try to say this with a straight face, into NIL malfeasance. He did the cover story on Stetson Bennett. But the big story of the day in college sports is the Big Ten media rights deal. It has been expected, but it's still a lot to digest when you see the numbers official, or close to being as official as we can. Pat, thanks for the time. A mega deal for the Big Ten. A commissioner who has taken a lot of heat is taking a victory lap today. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir, Paul. Yeah, momentous, busy day, but it's been something we've been waiting on pretty much all summer. And as you said, I think we had a pretty good idea what it was going to look like. But when you see $7 billion plus, that gets your attention.
So many things stand out. So let's talk about the fact that there's three networks involved. The money is enormous, and I know our fans here in the SEC, we can beat our chest with the best of them, but how do you compare and contrast the most dominant league in modern sports history in college football, but the numbers are significantly less for the SEC-ESPN deal, which hasn't even gone into effect yet?
Yeah, right. You have to acknowledge and give credit to the massive fan bases in the Big Ten. You have to acknowledge the size of the markets with, you know, Chicago, now Los Angeles, and to a degree New York, but you know, plenty of other big places also, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit, you know, on and on and on throughout that league. So, you know, they've got a lot of fans. They're very passionate. Their football isn't as good as the SEC, but it's very good. And they've got a lot to sell and a lot to market and a lot of people that want to watch their games.
Pat, one of the questions, I certainly want to hear your thoughts on it. Where is CBS? We know a lot of SEC fans are ready to see them go. They're the main broadcast partner this year with the 3:30 game. And they're still on for next year. Could that change with them now doing Big Ten games in 23 as well, or are we locked in?
I think they're locked in. You know, I don't think that's going to change. You know, how exactly they slice up that pie will be interesting. You know, I mean, is it still, does the SEC have that 3:30 primacy window, and the Big Ten works around it? One thing I think they can do, you know, usually that window for SEC games doesn't kick in for a few weeks into the season. So maybe they put some Big Ten games there in 2023 at 3:30 to start the year, you know, the first two or three weeks of the season before giving way to the usual SEC spot there. And, you know, you maybe work some in, whether it's prime time or whatever. But it will be a delicate balance for sure. They've got seven games next year, and then they kick in with the full package in 2024. And, you know, then everybody will be free and clear to go on their way.
Joined by Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated. Pat, the question that was not answered today is what happens next? There's Notre Dame out there. There are rumors of expansion that have existed really for a couple of years with OU in Texas and most recently with SC and UCLA. I know nobody said anything about that today. Well, maybe they did. They opened it. I mean, the door is open. But what are you hearing in not-so-official conversation?
Yeah, in pre-reporting that story, I mean, I was told flatly, we are not done expanding. Now, there wasn't a lot to back that up, like a year, 2 years, 5 years. There was no timetable. There were no specific targets, per se. But I do believe that the Big Ten has its eyes on some more properties, whatever those turn out to be. And, you know, I think the SEC probably does as well, because you can't just sit still and the way things are going in this two-conference arms race, so to speak. But, you know, the desire, I think, is there to come as close as you can to monopolizing as much of the country in a way that you're still going to be bringing in the same amount of dollars per school. That's where the calculus gets tricky. Obviously, Notre Dame's a no-brainer. If Notre Dame comes and Notre Dame says, we want Stanford as a plus one, I think the Big Ten would do that happily. Stanford doesn't generate a ton of revenue, but it's a you know, academically super elite school with connections to every major tech company in California and in the world, really. So they would be attractive as a plus one sort of thing. Obviously, Oregon and Washington are out there. I don't think Fox is like sitting there dilating its people saying, oh, we got to have those two. But if USC and UCLA feel strongly about, hey, we need some other West Coast teams, maybe you consider that. But it's there's a lot of gray area out there, but I do believe that the Big Ten does have its eyes on more schools.
Pat Forty with us from SI, talking about expansion, talking about so many aspects. Pat, before we move to the next subject, and there are a couple of them, just in terms, we talked about the dollars overall, but if you compare and contrast when all this goes into effect, what the schools in the Big Ten will be getting annually from these TV deals versus the SEC, what does it look like?
In terms of the difference between them right now?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, like for the next couple of years, it'll be negligible. You know, as I was told this repeatedly, you know, this will be a slow kind of ramp up. Years 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the dollars start to really jump up. And I think that they will probably average, you know, somewhere 60, high 60s, low to mid 70s millions per year per school. So how far behind that is the SEC? Yeah, you know, right now, maybe sitting at 20 million behind, but we've still got to factor in what Texas and Oklahoma are going to fully do to the market and how that's going to change things. And then also, are there any other moves still in the SEC's bag? So yeah, I think it's advantage Big Ten, but I don't think it's anything drastic that is going to, you know, put the SEC in a position, oh my gosh, we can't compete with the Big Ten. They're better than they are. And the Big Ten's still trying to catch up.
Yeah, the SEC office may have to go to Nick Saban and say, listen, we don't care what your age is. You have to coach 10 more years.
That might be the best long-term plan.
Let me get to a couple other stories. You had a story within the hour about the NCAA and NIL, and I don't mean to be snickering, but the idea of the NCAA doing anything to anyone is still somewhat of a foreign subject. But what do we know about this, and what could happen?
Yeah, I think snickering's okay. I think everybody's kind of snickering at this one. The situation here is just that, you know, the NIL horse is out of the barn. They're trying to get the horse back in the barn. They're hearing from schools that are angry that school X, school Y, school Z, you know, is using NIL as a recruiting inducement and want to try to rein that in. But frankly, who's listening to the NCAA? Who's cooperating? Not many people right now. And so lacking that, I thought this was basically a public cry for help. It was like, we can't do this. We need your help. We need you to drop dimes on the teams that are making you mad in your conference. That was the basics of this from my read of it. So, you know, good luck with that. The NCAA has just had such a hard time prosecuting cases and getting things to stick over the recent years that I don't think anybody's sitting out there saying, oh, well, this will do it. And now from now on, NIL is going to be reined in.
2 weeks before the season, 10 minutes into the interview, let's actually get to the field and talk about your cover piece on Stetson Bennett. Take us through what that was like. And you do a good job of detailing it in the article that Stetson Bennett is definitely a man who is in demand right now.
He sure is. You know, it's just one of those amazing stories. I mean, this was a guy who arrived as a walk-on, shared a locker, was given number 22, not exactly a quarterback number. And he just never actually accepted the fact that he wasn't supposed to be the quarterback at Georgia. As one of his teammates then said it, he had a bleep you attitude, and it was awesome. And that was his outlook from the get-go. It was like, all right, I'm the scout team quarterback. We're going to beat the first team defense. And, you know, that he just has basically never given up on his childhood dream of being the Georgia quarterback, even when a lot of other people gave up on him, including in the middle of the championship game when a lot of people last year were saying, whoo, is JT Daniels ready? Let's get him in there. And then Bennett leads the comeback for the victory. So, you know, he's got a lot of moxie. He's got a bit of a wiseacre sense of humor. He's charming. He was also extremely late for our interview, but that was kind of chalked up to Stetson being Stetson at that point. So I did ask him. He was getting his car detailed for a date. And I asked him, are you the most eligible bachelor in Athens? And he just kind of laughed and said, yeah, I guess so. Good to be Stetson.
I like that. Good to be Stetson indeed. Pat, thanks for the time. I know it's a crazy day. We appreciate, as always, you coming on.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Pat Forty, with so much to talk about on this Thursday afternoon, we're coming back with your phone calls. We already had David Shaw, the Stanford coach. You heard Pat reference, could Stanford be heading to the Big Ten? Mike Norvell with Florida State, could they be heading elsewhere? We'll talk about all of that when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's good to have you with us. And Mel is up next in Alabama. Hello, Mel.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay. Good to hear your voice again. Thanks for the great program. And I heard the coach from Stanford a little while ago, and I agree with him. Number one, you and I have talked about, or at least mentioned back in the day, Norby Walters, Lloyd Bloom. The NCAA is the joke. They could have long gotten ahead of the NIL in terms of regulations and guidelines. And I think what's probably going to have to happen, like the state agent registration, is that the commissioners get together with the Secretary of State or whoever, and they set some guidelines so there will be some fairness and equability there. And we heard the announcement today about the Big Ten and the billions of dollars, but my concern is that the student athletes, the combination of the conferences is good, but these kids, the number one reason that they're there is to earn a college degree. You and I know, Paul, life, there's life after football. And even at best, if they have a career 5, 6, 7 years, then what are you going to do? You're going to have that college degree. And so putting us in two divisions, playing across the country, 8 o'clock class, exams, you're there for the degree. So I'm going to hang up. I listened to your comments, and Richard Jaffer said, tell you hello. Have a great day. Thank
tell Richard, give him my best. Thanks so much, Doc. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. Gary is in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
How are you, my friend?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of setup here. First of all, your interview with David Shaw was phenomenal. He's just such a great guy. I'm an ex-lawyer, and I believe that you go on what you can prove. I believe in the facts. And so I stumbled across this conspiracy theory on media rights the other day and completely blew it off until I heard you say something a few minutes ago that suddenly gave it slight credibility. So let's establish facts and baseline.
Okay.
That's okay.
Perfect.
So Sankey and the SEC minions that negotiate media rights are very, very bright guys. They know what they're doing. They're not going to make stupid mistakes. Is that safe?
Yeah, I feel like I'm back in in class, but I'm going to agree with you, Professor, so far.
I appreciate you. Now, the current SEC contract expires in 2023.
Correct.
Yet they felt the need to renegotiate it in 2019. That, first of all, is just a little odd, especially knowing that the Big Ten negotiations would be before that. I mean, why renegotiate a contract 4 years ahead of time, knowing that your biggest competitor had to do their negotiations first, and who the heck knows happens in 4 years?
Gary, let me explain one thing here, just and whether this affects your theory or not. So
this is possible.
The CBS deal was signed, it was a 15-year deal. You've heard that.
Yes.
At the moment that Missouri and Texas A&M entered the SEC, the conference went to CBS and said, listen, we're bringing more value to your product and your platform, and we feel like we deserve to be paid for it. CBS said no. I believe it was valued at $30 million a school. And CBS said, screw you guys. We've already got our deal. And at that moment, beginning in 2012, this relationship was essentially over, if you follow me. And
I just want to make sure
I think you knew that, but I wanted to make sure you understood that before you got to your
theory.
Yes,
that actually reinforces my theory.
Okay.
So we negotiate this deal in 2019 for whatever reason. We wait until 2020 to disclose
it.
Well,
let me explain one more thing, and then I'm going to get out of your way. So the deal was essentially done in late December of 19. It, as you well know, being somebody who has practiced law, it took another month or two to put it all together. Okay. Here's where it gets really fascinating. It was supposed to be announced in March of 20 at the SEC basketball tournament. What happened? COVID. It was canceled.
Gotcha.
It was never announced, and then it did not come out officially until the end of the year. I'm out of your way now.
Okay, so yeah, that part I did not understand, but I'm not sure that screws anything up.
It doesn't make any difference.
So suddenly, out of nowhere, a year ago, Texas and Oklahoma decide they're coming to the SEC. Now, the SEC, in fact, given what you said a minute ago, the SEC has been bitten once by the addition of Missouri and A&M not being able to renegotiate. We've established the negotiators are brilliant. Why is there no clause in there to renegotiate if we expand?
Okay, there is a, there
again.
Gary, there is a clause. Value, as best I know it, and I can be close, but I'm not involved. The value, I think, was put at $80 million a school. So it increases the value, $80 million or $160
million. So essentially, we have renegotiated by default just by them joining.
I think that's I think that number is the term of the contract, not annually. So, I mean, the SEC learned the first time they got that clause in there. Now, you've raised a really good point. I'm curious about your theory here.
Well, it's not my theory, I promise you. We landed on the moon, no grassy knoll, all that sort of thing. But that the theory I read was that, we all this happens. Suddenly now every other network has gone all in on the Big Ten. But that was the theory, was that the SEC should have that option to renegotiate with expansion.
Well, the other part of this, I know all the parties involved, including the consultant for the SEC, is my former television agent. So I was privy to a lot of this. Don't forget, though, that ESPN, one of ESPN's most valuable properties, if I could be so self-serving, is the SEC network. So it was all encompassing, where the Big Ten, has a very successful network too. Don't misunderstand me. Okay, thank you. We'll pick this up. I really want to hear more about where you're going, but we have a guest waiting. He is Mike Norvell, the Florida State head coach. They take on LSU on the opening weekend of the season, and we're back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. We have talked about week one, of course, LSU and Florida State down in New Orleans. But Florida State also has a week zero game. And we're joined by Mike Norvell now, the head coach at FSU. We had a chance to visit with him out in Las Vegas as one of his top players was drafted in the first round. Coach, how are you and how is camp going?
No, everything's going really well. A lot of excitement around the program, and you know it's great getting to be a part of that week zero matchup because you know we're just a handful of days away from being able to kick it off.
Coach, I know from a fan standpoint, you probably have to remind them you have a game before LSU in New Orleans, but for your team, I'm sure they're pretty excited. They're going to be out there on a stage next week that very few teams are on. Talk a little bit about the philosophy of playing that game.
Well, you know, it's great with the week zero, getting everybody back into camp a week earlier, being able to start that process. Our team, we're excited about being able to kick off the season here at home and in front of our home crowd. It's an opportunity to go out and showcase the first picture of the identity of this 2022 Florida State team. And, we've got a lot of returning production. We've got some newcomers. I've really been pleased with the work that our players have put in, on and off the field as they prepared for this year, and to be able to kick it off at home is definitely special. And we know we've got big games throughout this season as it's all going to progress. But the most important thing we have to do is continue to focus on ourselves and go out there and play our best ball here next Saturday.
Coach, I know it's always been Florida State's philosophy going back to Bobby Bowden to play big games, and I say that because you already have Florida at the end of the year, and that would suffice most programs, but you've been doing this for many, many years, in addition to what you have in the ACC. How do you approach it, or is it already baked into the cake because you're the head coach at Florida State?
No, it's one of the great things about coming to Florida State. You're going to be in those primetime matchups. You know that as players, coaches, everybody involved. Last year we opened the season on Sunday night versus Notre Dame. This year, we get the week one matchup against LSU on a Sunday night. Here in future years, those primetime matchups. It's a great place to be. Our fan base. It's wonderful for them. It's wonderful for our players to go out and showcase their abilities against the top. The other top players in the country, and for us, it's just a wonderful platform to be on.
Well, let's talk about the most important thing, and that's your team. I mean, we fans and commentators like me worry about the schedule, but you have to worry about what the depth chart looks like and the activity. So give us your feelings on what the squad looks like and how have they progressed from day one.
You know, I'm really excited about this group. And, you know, we returned so much production from last year, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And then, you know, like I said, we've been able to add a lot of great newcomers that I think are going to make a tremendous impact. The confidence of this team, you know, guys that have now had a little bit of continuity and understanding the expectations, understanding the language of what we're going to do in all phases. And then, you know, when you have players that are helping coach the new players on what to do and things to expect, I mean, I think it really accelerates that process. And you know, our depth, our size, our speed, you know, our strength and conditioning staff has done an incredible job. You're hoping to continue to develop our guys. You know, we've been one of the youngest teams in college football the last few years, and you know, now we're starting to see be able to reap the benefits of that experience and you know, just the overall competition that we have. And we think we got a really you know, incredible opportunity to go out there and take a great step as a program and, you know, showcase the wonderful players that we get to coach.
Coach, I mean, you've seen so much. I mean, when you were at Memphis, you had taken a program that at one time was dormant, and you took over a good situation and made it significantly better, playing for titles and being on the national stage. FSU fell off the map. It doesn't really matter why. You inherited a situation where you can't blame people, but you had to rectify it. That's a tough journey, and now you're trying to make that big step. How close do you think this program is to getting back to where fans expect it to be?
I definitely think we're getting close, and it's the journey that makes it worth it. You know, anybody can go in, and you know, when you have you know, an experience here, experience there. I mean, for us, you know, the things that we've had to go through. I mean, really, as a program, we've had to prove that we could get through them. And you know, some of the adversity that we faced, you know, some of the challenges. You know, it's been a unique few years, and you know, for us, just to be able to get the consistency and the continuity within, you know, a staff, within, you know, for our players. You've seen that growth, you know, having leaders emerge, you know, throughout our roster, you know, where they're able to take a great piece of the ownership of what we're doing. And that's what I've enjoyed. And, you know, it's, you know, we're excited about where we are, but, you know, I really believe great days are ahead in the very near future. And you know, this team has an opportunity to go make their statement by how we play.
And coach, every coach talks about the schedule, but they also talk about recruiting, which never ends. And I know things have really turned around there, but it's so complicated now in the world of recruiting. We're all interested in your thoughts on the new challenges. Not only do you have to fight the portal, and you can gain from it as well as you have, but everything else that has gone into recruiting now with under the new guidelines of NIL.
Yeah, you know, for us, it always comes down to finding the right fit. And, you know, whether that's, you know, from the portal, whether that's high school players, you know, every player is going to be looking for different things. And, you know, making sure that we identify the right fit for Florida State, guys that you are excited about the process that we have ahead of us. You know, we talk about this being a program where stars come to shine. And we want, you know, the best and the brightest stars to be able to come here and showcase all of their talents, you know, here at Florida State, but making sure that they fit, you know, the things that we're looking to continue to build this program and you know, to help showcase, you know, all aspects of what these guys do, you know, through their collegiate experience. And, you know, it is definitely a new age in college athletics, but we've got a great university, a great program, and so many resources around us that can really provide that unique experience for these young men when they get here.
Coach, it seems like you just got to Tallahassee, but I was just thinking about we used to call them the Big Three back in the day in the 90s when Florida State and Miami were really at the epicenter of college football. But the fact that you are now the senior member of the head coaches of that group is really interesting, considering Miami has a new coach and so does Florida.
It's definitely an interesting time, and You know, and college football needs, you know, all of those three to be, you know, to be tops in the country. And that's something that, you know, those games, they're special. I mean, you know, those are tremendous rivalries, a great opportunity. You know, we represent such an incredible state with such talented football players. And, you know, that's, you know, we're working day in and day out to continue to get Florida State back to where we deserve to be. And, you know, our players are putting in great work, our coaches, the university, and the support that we have. You know, it's exciting, and we're definitely looking forward to doing our part to getting back to where, you know, ultimately we need to be.
Coach, let me end where we began, and that's for the opening weekend, which is around the corner. And as a fan, yes, we peek ahead. We see that Sunday night game in prime time on the national stage, the only game that's on. But as a coach, you have to look at the opponent. You have to say the right things, but you also know the reality. So when you go into an opening game like this on week zero, what is the mentality of the coaching staff, and how do you make sure that gets across to your players?
You know, it's a daily objective of ours to every time we step on the field, whether it's practice, you know, scrimmage, you know, wherever we are throughout the course of the years, is to go out and be our best, to be able to communicate, to execute, to perform, to finish at the highest level that we possibly can. You know, we get a chance to be able to kick off here in Doak Campbell Stadium. I mean, it is exciting. It's the first time that this team will be able to take the field together and to go play another opponent. And, you know, it's just those are things that make college football special, because there's so limited opportunities. So it really doesn't matter who you play. It's about going out there and performing to the best of your ability and all the work and all the preparation that you're able to put that on display for 60 minutes on any given Saturday. But we're definitely excited about being in week zero, and it's really added to that sense of urgency throughout the summer, knowing that we're going to be on that opening weekend.
Coach, it was great to see you a couple of months ago in Vegas, and it's especially glad to see you today. We'll be watching the first couple of weeks, and all the very, very best this season. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Paul, and go Noles.
You got it. Great to talk to Coach Mike Norvell. We've known him since his Memphis days when he really had the college football world's eyes on them, and he's hoping to get them back on Tallahassee, that Duquesne game opening weekend, and then LSU. On that first Sunday night of week one. We'll take a break, get your reaction. More guests coming up. We've already had two major guests with Coach Shaw and Coach Norvell, and we're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have you all with us. And Joe is up next in New York. Hello, Joe.
Paul, how are you today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I want to commend you and the fine job you do with your show. And once again, the guests that you provide to...
Thank you.
The general audience is outstanding. And what I want to speak to you today, Paul, is a little bit about what each of your guests kind of touched on. And that is, it seems that in the Power Five world, with conference realignments, NIL, the transfer portal, it seems like the rich are going to get richer. And it comes to my question. In that Power Five, particularly in basketball and football, do you think the term student athlete is becoming obsolete now?
Yes, I think it is an absurd term, and it has been that way for a long time, but primarily administrators condition us, and a lot of the media does as well, No self-respecting media member should ever use it. It's a crock. There's not 1 ounce of truth attached to that phrase.
And that kind of brings me to my next point, Paul. With all these media right deals, all these conference realignments, the way recruiting is now becoming an unfair advantage with the NLI, ergo to my point, the rich are getting richer. Do you think those mid-level or mid-major schools are going to be priced out and they're going to have to maybe start their own new type of conference or league alignments?
Well, what I think is going to happen, Joe, is I think there's going to be a breakup. You're going to have the power elite, the top 30 to 50, however many qualified, I don't know yet. And then everybody else plays what is currently the standard of student athletes and football, where there's an emphasis on something other than how much money the wide receiver makes.
Sure. Well, I hope the NCAA in their infinite wisdom can somehow get it together, because, you know, unless you're an athletic director, and probably the second most important job and third most important job in athletic administration is a CFO and a compliance officer,
right,
with
right,
all these transfers going on.
Well, Joe, one thing, Joe, thank you very much. And don't dare think the NCAA is going to get it right. They're not. They're pretty much out of business.
I agree, my friend. Hey, have a great day.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Thank you very much. How often do we stay in New York for the second straight call? Gary is up next in New York. Hello, Gary.
Hey, hello, Paul.
How are you?
I'd like to talk about the state of college football, if I may.
Please.
And a 16-team playoff. I think with the 14 playoff that we currently have, college football is beginning to get stale and kind of boring. The same four or five teams at the top of the polls and at the top of the recruiting boards every season. And, you know, I think, you know, ESPN asks the question every year, who's in? And I assume it's a rhetorical question, because it's always Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, or Oklahoma. So I think if we went to a 16-team playoff, I think the recruits would spread out amongst more teams. And I also think that if you went to a 16-team playoff, it would improve non-conference scheduling. Teams would schedule up in the non-conference instead of scheduling so many bye games. Because I know Alabama has Austin Peay on its schedule this year. And, you know, I know you've complained in the past about SEC non-conference scheduling. And it's really becoming boring, some of these games. And I think it would enhance the regular season if they expanded the playoff to 16 teams and made it more inclusive instead of exclusive. What's your thoughts on that?
Gary, you're definitely right in terms of the current product. It is stale, and it's one of the least suspenseful moments of the year to see who gets in to the four-team playoff. I think it's more likely they'll go to 12. I'm not sure that's written in stone, but I think they will end
up. Yeah, the conference.
Yeah, I think they'll be right back to where they were a year ago when the Big Ten decided to torpedo the deal.
The commissioners love that bye.
Yeah.
They love that bye for the first week for the top four teams. I just don't like the bye. I understand where they're coming from, but I'd like to see 16 teams. And then I'd like to see the first 2 weeks of playoffs on college campuses. I think that would be awesome. And then have the final four maybe at neutral site.
Yeah, I agree, Gary. I think the most sterile thing in the world are these neutral site games. I am sick of them. And even for a championship game, it just doesn't I think it's sometimes – well, it depends on where the championship game is. But let's say this year the championship game is going to be in Los Angeles. Let's say it's Alabama and Clemson, or Alabama and Ohio State.
Right. Why should they travel all the way to Los Angeles?
Yeah,
I get it.
The single worst game I've ever been to that mattered – was the game between Alabama and Clemson a couple of years ago.
When it was up in
Santa Clara.
San Jose, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a total joke. I mean, other than the fact that Alabama lost by 28, that had nothing to do with my discomfort during the game.
No, I agree. I think they should have the championship game in it.
Well, unfortunately, the CFP is a lot of well-meaning people, but – it's when you see the operation of the college football playoff, it doesn't exactly rival Apple when it comes to the nuances and the machinations of the product. We will take a break. Mackenzie Brooks from the University of Georgia will join us as we get back to school. We've already had David Shaw from Stanford and Mike Norvell. Mackenzie is right around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.